The US and its allies are now effectively backed into a series of corners. Can US attempt to ban Bitcoin and its transactions? It can try, but will fail. China has already tried to do so multiple times, and the same goes for India. Not to mention, the US now has a multitude of politicians advocating for Bitcoin adoption, like US Senator Cynthia Lummis and state governors showing political support for the asset and the network. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What is up, guys? Welcome back to the show. We have got an article today from Bitcoin Magazine. This is Bitcoin Audible. This is where you're going to hear this article, because Bitcoin Audible is where you hear all of the best in Bitcoin made audible by Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. And I actually paused the other things that I was recording to really quick get this article out. This is by Mike Hobart. It's titled, If Russia Invites Bitcoin Adoption, the Global Arms Race Will Begin. And this is just a topic. He's got a really great article, this article is really good. And then Joseph actually released an article an hour ago, 2 hours ago now or something, on Bitcoin and Russia's regulatory drive. Nothing to cheer on, because there are a couple of different areas where this is really important, what's going on in Russia. And we're about to get an announcement from Biden as well. He's about to make an executive order for some sort of regulatory enforcement on Bitcoin and crypto. So basically, we are moving into the geopolitical sphere at an incredible pace. We are barreling in, and whether we are ready or not, here it is. Here it is. We're here. But Mike specifically writes about the context that the Russian ministry has discussed Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining more specifically, and how it alters the energy environment. And unfortunately, I didn't talk about it a ton in the take afterward, just because the whole apparatus of Russia and everything that's going on right now is so interesting, and I just kind of took a tangent with it. But this is a really interesting topic, because I think largely Bitcoin is very antithetical to so many of the things that Russia wants to accomplish, but they are necessarily having to admit how useful it can be to them in other contexts. So there is this push and this pull against how Bitcoin can help, how Bitcoin mining can help, and how it can bolster their energy grid, versus how it undermines their monetary policy, their control, and the stability of their banking system, because if there's huge outflows, and potentially even threaten the strength of the ruble itself. And that is more kind of what Joseph's article. So these are kind of like a great like yin and yang for the situation, is Mike's article and Joseph's article. And we'll talk about both actually more in depth in a guy's take. And I mentioned that at the end of the show. But for now, let's go ahead and get into this article, and we will be bringing these back up at a later date. Real quick though, let's hit our sponsors and then we will get into this article. So first, we've got the Bitcoin 2022 conference. Jordan Peterson is going to be there. I don't know what else to say. It's going to be an absolutely epic event. Check it out. Get 10% off your tickets. Link in the show notes. The Fold card is the stack sats card on everything in life. I got 4% back on something today on my first spin. Oh my God, it was epic. I also just so happened to stack with Swan today. Always makes me feel good that I've got an automatic stack that is always buying Bitcoin for me and sending it where? Directly to my Bitbox, directly to my hardware wallet, my Bitbox O2, sovereignly held, my keys, my coins. Check out all of these services and products, our amazing sponsors, in the show notes, links plus discounts to everything included. Don't forget to check it out. All right. With that, it is time to get into today's article by Mike Hobart, and it is titled, If Russia Invites Bitcoin Adoption, the Global Arms Race Will Begin, by Mike Hobart. Recent pro-Bitcoin developments from Russia could put the Eastern power in a lead position as inflation grows. How will other powers react? On February 15th, the Russian Ministry of Economic Development signaled a bullish development around Bitcoin, reduced costs for Bitcoin miners. But what can we make of this? First, the obvious. Yes, it is bullish. The Russian ministry is reportedly considering energy tariffs for Bitcoin and other cryptocurrency miners, as well as taxing cryptocurrency to ruble conversions, as long as said facilities are constructed in particular regions. You don't want Bitcoin miners just popping up anywhere, not that they operate in this manner anyway. One of the justifications from the ministry, as noted here, has been that Bitcoin mining incentivizes great increases in energy generation, while allowing for rapid pivoting of demand by the grid. This means that if energy demand were to shift quickly, say in the wake of unorthodox weather situations, then the grid has the capability to limit or shut down miners with the intent of supplying energy demand where it is most pertinent. Secondly, this places pressure on Western powers. The US, the United Kingdom, and the European Union have been slow to make concrete decisions on Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining facilitation, which isn't surprising in the least. Not only does Bitcoin censorship resistance and decentralization threaten the feasibility of the SWIFT system, but they also make controls over capital flight much more difficult to enforce. Furthermore, there is concern around inflation sticking around, particularly as it might affect the price of energy. This is another area in which Russia may play a pivotal role, as incentivizing Bitcoin miners to bring business within their jurisdictions would not only provide economic stimulation in the form of infrastructure projects, but would also strengthen the resilience of the grid by providing an additional source of monetization that is demand flexible. As the cost of natural gas increases, the incentives to invest in renewables decreases, due largely to their risk of intermittent production. It is for these reasons that Russia would be pressed towards seeking to mitigate energy cost inflation going forward in the form of incorporating Bitcoin mining operations into energy projects. These justifications suggest that Russia is interested in incentivizing Bitcoin mining within its borders, in addition to the following points. 1. Inflation is gripping energy markets. What started as a move to cleaner energy sources became a massive liability during COVID-19 lockdowns. When economies pause, demand does not, which includes demand for energy. 2. Tangentially, the globe has been aggressively reducing nuclear energy generation since 2005. This is largely because facilities capable of generating this energy have been well past their safely functional age. Unfortunately, officials could not have picked a worse time to shut down this potent and efficient form of energy generation. Now there is a dramatically reduced resilience in the grid, meaning the only things we have left are fossil fuels and highly unreliable energy sources, aka renewables. These sources also require massive amounts of fossil fuels to not only produce, but to extract from the earth. 3. With energy markets experiencing inflation, the cost of goods and services are also on the rise. As mentioned before, we need to expend energy in order to generate energy. This means that the costs of resource extraction, transportation, refinement, packaging, and storage by relation will also be experiencing increases in costs, regardless of what the CPI might say. 4. If goods and services are falling to the whims of inflation, this also means that food is being impacted by inflation. As the energy cycle dictates, life requires energy to propagate, so by relation, agriculture and livestock also require significant measures of energy in order to provide the food that our children and our communities rely upon to grow healthy and strong. This energy comes in the form of seed, feed, water, equipment, fertilizers, pesticides and herbicides, and so on. Now, we have come full circle back to recent developments out of Russia, and now China. On February 2nd, Russia announced a ban on ammonium nitrate exports through April, with the intent on being more capable of supporting domestic agricultural efforts. The problem? Russia is the United States' leading source of ammonium nitrate, a very important ingredient for munitions production, adding further weight behind recent developments and activities on Russia's western border. Going further on the fertilizer thread was China's banning of fertilizer exports this past summer. However, the crumbs of this Hansel and Gretel tale don't stop there. With the aforementioned points, we get enough scope to see how inflation is significantly impacting all of us. But there is more. Consider Russia's activity in Ukraine and how it is stoking the flames and fears of war. A normal economy is heavily reliant on energy, and war magnifies energy demand by an order of magnitude, if not more. If Russia is intent on war, the European Union will require significant amounts of energy to facilitate resistance. In this particular case, said energy would be coming in the forms of oil and natural gas. And who is the EU's largest source of energy? It's Russia. To make matters worse, Germany is the leader of manufacturing in the European Union. And what country does Germany rely on heavily for trade in order to sustain said manufacturing? It's China. To make matters even more complex, China is applying militaristic pressures of its own upon Taiwan, a key player in the global chip manufacturing space, upon which technology in general relies upon heavily. If war grips this area of the world, I would expect further increases in prices across the board, as technologies would increase in price due to consistent and/or increasing demand meeting restricted supply if said chip manufacturing sites were to go offline. Now for a really big question. Big in the sense of implications on historical, geopolitical, and even individual levels of big. Where does Bitcoin fit in? In incentivizing mining operations, Russia is signaling increasing support and appreciation for the nascent asset and technology stack that accompanies Bitcoin's network operations and incentives. Additionally, because Bitcoin operates outside of the purview of any one nation or group's borders, the risk of sanctions is all but eliminated if trade is done via a neutral asset such as Bitcoin. Furthermore, a nation that were to adopt such a neutral asset via trade, possibly even pricing energy in Bitcoin, would open up its coffers to trade with quite literally anyone, inviting an influx of demand for goods and services rendered. The US and its allies are now effectively backed into a series of corners. Can the US attempt to ban Bitcoin and its transactions? It can try, but will fail. China has already tried to do so multiple times, and the same goes for India. Not to mention that the US now has a multitude of politicians advocating for Bitcoin adoption, like US Senator Cynthia Lummis and state governors showing political support for the asset and network. On top of that, there's the massive inflows of network hash rate that came to US shores after China's infamous mining ban. And going even further, there's the consideration that the FDIC has been looking into providing support for American banks to hold Bitcoin on their balance sheets. As the saying goes, Bitcoin is for friends and enemies. Are Russia and China pushing their agendas to not only get what they want, but also force the US and other Western powers into inflationary environments to weaken the petrodollar or US dollar hegemony? And in doing so, will Bitcoin be capable of proving to the world that it truly is an asset of the future, where allies and foes transact equally? Then, in this environment, could we also see both sides pushing for Bitcoin adoption and proliferation as each side aims to keep pace with their rivals? This is a guest post by Mike Hobart. Opinions expressed are entirely their own and do not necessarily reflect those of Bitcoin Incorporated or Bitcoin Magazine. All right, there's a lot to unpack here, and I really just want to talk about the situation with Russia, and because so much is happening on the political front, and this is definitely going to need a guy's take. This is kind of what I've been building toward here for a little while, and this literally dropped today, I think. Yeah, this article, it's barely a few hours old when I started reading it. So I want to get into it just because this is a topic that I think is good to introduce and expand on a lot in another episode, in an episode very soon. But real quick, let's hit our sponsor for today and we will jump back in. And that sponsor is the Bitcoin 2022 conference. Bitcoin Magazine is hosting the freaking Bitcoin conference of planet Earth. And they kill it every single year. It is such an amazing event. It is so much fun. We literally conquer Miami. It is taken over by Bitcoiners. And holy crap, with everything that is going on this year, it is going to be epic. And they just announced that Jordan Peterson is going to be there. He is going to speak. I am so stoked. I'm going to fanboy out crazy hard when I finally get to meet him. And there's just, there are going to be so many people there. Everybody is going to be there. And I have a feeling there are going to be some incredible announces, historic announces. Announcements. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. Tickets, you can get 10% off. 10% off your tickets with code GuySwan. Go to my link, guyswan.com/2022 for your tickets to the greatest Bitcoin conference in the universe. It's going to be epic. I hope to see you there in April. Don't forget to DM if you want to hang out. I will be there. With that, let's jump back in. So, what is going on in Russia? This is from the, what Mike wrote about here is largely in the context of energy and how it applies, how Bitcoin mining is going to apply. But I think there's also an element of like looking into the details of, or at least what I've read. I've mostly just kind of read articles that are summaries of stuff. I haven't actually gone and found their statements and then translated them myself. So take all of this with a grain of salt, anything that I know. But it seems like what actually is the position of the Russian government, aside from the mining thing, what they're trying to do is find approved areas for mining, and that there are explicitly going to be these producers produce surplus, or this is where it can be useful, and they are going to explicitly direct and quote-unquote allow. The amount of control they are attempting to take or put on this thing is extremely high. And in fact, that's actually what I believe is going on, in the sense that I think, at least what was based on what was stated. There's actually another great article that came out just a little while ago that I also went ahead and just read that one too, which has a lot of the concerns that I've been thinking of as well, even though there's an element of excitement about, wow, this is in the political sphere pretty aggressively within the last few months. Joseph Tatek, I don't know, sorry, did an article as well on Bitcoin and Russia's regulatory drive, nothing to cheer on. And articulates a few of the feelings that I had about what they've been saying about it, like kind of what it seems like the position is. And it seems like there are numerous players in Russia who want to ban it outright. And essentially many of the authorities, many of the higher ups are saying, or under the impression that this will actually be back, or this will actually be, a net negative for them, and not because they're going to profit a lot from Bitcoin, but because they are going to drive it into an underground market that will be much, much more difficult to control. And what they're actually trying to do is so strictly regulate it that no Bitcoin activity can happen within Russia outside of the banking system specifically. That it is literally going to be explicitly tied to a bank. In fact, they even allude to the fact that any use a user who what do they call it? Transparent blockchain or some crap? What is it called? Yeah, okay, Transparent Blockchain System, which is basically this surveillance company, much like Chainalysis. And that even individual users outside of exchanges would have to register their addresses with this surveillance system, even though there does not seem to be any clearly defined penalties for this yet. But I'm sure they will find them. I think that what they were trying to do, because it is explicitly stated that the problem with cryptocurrency, the problem with Bitcoin, is that it undermines official monetary policy. It threatens a huge outflow of the stock of value out of the stock market and the banking sector, which destabilizes their financial system, and also threatens to weaken the ruble. That this is what they're trying to prevent, which means they are trying to make the regulatory environment so strict that essentially everybody is trapped into using Bitcoin tokens within the banking system, and it's the appearance of making it legal or making it available, but that you're not even allowed to, like the idea of privacy or self-custody is all just kind of out the window. But that they are very possibly going to use this. And this is what's interesting, is that Russia may need it. So there's this weird middle ground between does Russia allow themselves to use it and undermine it when they may actually benefit from it in the context of sanctions? Like, if they get locked out of SWIFT or the US tries to prevent the use of SWIFT, Bitcoin is going to be exactly the sort of rail that they need to get around that. So how much do they damage that when, especially if their citizens are trying to use it? Like, there's this weird dynamic where it's not useful if they attack it too much, and they may very well need it considering they do not currently hold the reins to the international monetary structure, to the international settlement structure. And in fact, that settlement structure and international banking system is used as a weapon potentially against Russia. So in that battle, Bitcoin becomes a tool that they could use and for their favor. But if they attack it too much, if they threaten it so much that they're fudging with the price and hindering its use or adoption and the infrastructure build out on Bitcoin, well, then that makes it less of a useful tool to themselves. So I don't know. This is one of those things that's going to get messy really quick, because I think largely Bitcoin is going to be seen as antagonistic to government. That's how I see it. And all of the different ways, I suspect a lot of response, much like Russia. They're not stupid. They're not so stupid that they realized, rightfully, that banning it outright, that trying to attack it and just shut it down or like push it under, you know, the actual economy is a far more dangerous outcome, because then it's out of their control. It's explicitly something they can't see. They no longer have the surveillance apparatus to know who is even using it. They can't control their citizens. Whereas in the opposite way, they could potentially benefit from it on the geopolitical scale, like in using it as its their own potential payment rails in the future. They can bolster their grid. But more importantly, they can have such a strict regulatory environment. Like, even in this proposed regulation that Russia is doing, it looks like any sort of service or businesses using it must be licensed with Russia, with the state. And that all records of transactions, addresses, users, all the data must be kept for 5 years and reported to the transparent blockchain surveillance apparatus so that they can keep tabs on everybody and everything. And if everybody is having to keep stuff within the banking system, well, then all of the benefit, everything that makes Bitcoin Bitcoin, is not there, right? Like, you can have a frozen account denominated in Bitcoin as easily as you can have a frozen account denominated in dollars. The issue is that you have an account with a custodian that can freeze your funds. But what does this do? What does this do when Bitcoin becomes something that a government can use? You know, this is where gold failed, essentially. This is how they regulated gold into obscurity, was that they essentially made all gold became a note, became a custodial tool that only they could use. They regulated it in the hands of users and made it, I mean, like, they explicitly said it was illegal for U.S. citizens in the land of the free to own gold personally. And they removed redemption. But the government still used gold. The government still had gold as their reserves. So it became a tool of, quote-unquote, the elite, and they attempted to put this barrier that was so high that anybody below them, anybody they perceived as not important enough, couldn't use it. So it became a tool that only they could actually get the benefit of. And this is why I think the next step is a circular economy. We need to get out from underneath the trucker convoy and everything that's happening in Canada and the frozen accounts. I think this highlights how critical this need is. We need to be able to onboard people completely outside of the banking system so that they can use it individually. And we need to, that is really the hurdle. We still don't have a clear answer, in my opinion, to what happens when there are a million people who have never touched this technology, who only vaguely understand it. How do you safely get them, turn them into Bitcoin users? Now, I'm not saying that's ever going to be an easy task. It probably won't be. But I don't think it's been tackled. I think it's been, the context of the problem has largely been in the realm of nerds, the realm of techie people who have come to Bitcoin interested in it and wanted to get into it. And everything else, we have essentially allowed the task, the goal, or the mission of onboarding the new users who don't know how to do anything and don't know the technical side of it and aren't familiar with computers to be left up to custodians. And there's part of me that's always been like, isn't that how it works? Isn't that how it has to work? Because how, you know, that seems like an inevitability, right? There's always going to be people who just don't understand it, who don't go down the techie route. But now I'm realizing just how much of a trade-off that is when push comes to shove. Because the Bitcoin technology works. You can still send a transaction and they can't stop it. They can try to blacklist addresses, but they can't prevent people from sending from those addresses or sending to those addresses. So the protocol is still independent. But if nobody can use it independently, if the truckers don't actually know how to receive those funds without an exchange, without going through the legacy banking system, it doesn't do them any good. It needs to be a circular economy. And this is why the tools like Web3 design, like structures or whatever, and I don't mean this in the context of DeFi or NFTs or whatever. I mean this in actually really almost perfectly what John Carvalho is working on right now. What they're working on over at Synonym is slash tags, you know, user accounts that are based off a set of keys. Very simple, very easy to use, and essentially a form of built-in privacy, a separation between your identity and what you want to share with somebody else, a way to authenticate absent of the KYC environment. And then Lightning, the ability to have an external payment infrastructure. Like, this is why Lightning is so important. This is why we should never have been, and excuse me, I guess Bitcoin really hasn't been, but this is why crypto is completely lost, I think, in building all of these toys, when what we need is a global payment infrastructure that is not controlled by the banking sector. Lightning is it. Lightning is the thing that can scale to that size to onboard millions of people. There's still plenty of work to do, but we need a decentralized, onion-routed, at least as private as possibly can be, better if we can, if anytime there's an improvement, we adopt it. Anytime we can make it easier and more user-friendly, like in the context of Breeze or Moon or Phoenix, these things that try to offload the complexity of what's behind the scenes to an app or to a non-custodial service provider so that you can get around, basically have this regulatory arbitrage that you can play. This is what's crucial. This is what is critical. We need payment infrastructure that cannot be stopped, that is decentralized, for the monetary infrastructure that cannot be stopped and is decentralized. And I think we're getting to a point where we should be talking, like having serious conversations about alternative communications infrastructure. This is where I'm like, thank God Blockstream has the Blockstream satellite thing, because how important will that be when, I suspect there will probably be crackdowns. There will be an internet outage. There will continue to be internet outages. It's already a weapon that governments use against their people. I expect to see this. I expect to see a lot more of this. This is going to get a whole lot crappier before it gets better. But that's why I think these moves, as it barrels at a ridiculous pace onto the geopolitical floor, I think it's important to take the lessons as quick as we can and understand what the direction we need to go is and what tools we need to truly focus on. Wasabi is another, like, privacy, man, damn it. Odell is right, man. Privacy is everything. And the push for these tools needs to happen quickly. We have a lot of these tools. We have so many of them, but we haven't made them ubiquitous. We haven't adopted them, or at least we haven't made them easy enough to be simply adopted in so many different tools and services in the space, but we could. They could be. And I think it's time to have to really push for those things, because, man, this is happening quick. 2022 feels like suddenly, you know, gradually then suddenly. I think suddenly is here, on so many different fronts, and it'll be really interesting too, because the financial situation is so fragile, is what happens to all of this framework when the legacy financial system can't even hold itself up. I don't know. We're definitely going to cover this again in a guy's take. I'm going to be on Why Are We Bullish? Tomorrow with BTC Sessions. I'm sure it will come up. But there has been a huge string of events, really critical and really public events and series of announcements and actions that have taken place where Bitcoin is becoming relevant to everything that is happening. And it's becoming clear to the people in power, to the authorities, that this is the case. They are not ignoring it anymore. It's always fun to play the, oh, first they laugh at you, then they ignore you, then they fight you, then you win. I genuinely think that there's always the times where we can just say fun, oh yeah, China banned it, blah, 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 then they fight you. I think this is it. I think this is the then they fight you stage. We're here. We are not being ignored anymore. Bitcoin is not being ignored. The Canadian government just announced and sent out to all of the exchanges, these are the users who are holding the multisig to the trucker's convoy. You should freeze their accounts and you should not accept transactions from these addresses. And this is explicitly an issue that they know, that this money is something that they could actually receive, the protesters could actually receive, whereas all the other stuff allows them to take control. All the other stuff makes confiscation immediate and by default and super easy. Bitcoin challenges that, and they know it. They absolutely know it, and they are responding to it. And we have to be clear about the future we are building toward and the future that we want. And it is time that we adopt these tools and we use these tools. Right now, our complacency is our greatest enemy. Do not become complacent. That is where they want us. That is where they want the space to be, to think that we've already won this fight, because really, this is the ultimate test. It is now on the geopolitical sphere. It is now on the global stage. And this is when Bitcoin the teenager becomes a man. And we have to be there. We have to be ready, because it is dependent on all of us to make that happen and make sure that we do not let it get co-opted. We do not let it get controlled into obscurity. And what we do and what we teach and how we spread that message matters. So I really kind of got off topic. I didn't even talk that much about Russia, I feel like. Great little piece by Hobart. I'll also link to the piece by Joseph, so you can check that out. And we will go over it more. I've highlighted a bunch of stuff in both of these articles to bring up again, because I think both have really, really good points. And they're absolutely pertinent to what is happening. And I think this is going to be a big thing moving forward. 2022 is just going to be nuts. Get ready. Buckle your seatbelt. With that, though, we're going to close this one out. Thank you guys so much for listening. A huge thank you. Speaking of 2022, go to Bitcoin 2022. This conference is going to be crazy. This is where things are going to be announced and discussed that will move the world. That is the phase of this thing that we are in now. So go to Bitcoin 2022. It's going to be an epic event. And don't forget to stack the hell out of some sats as quick as you can, as much as you can. Use Swan Bitcoin. Use the Fold card. Make sure you have it in your self-custody. Get yourself a BitBox hardware wallet. Like, the principles that make Bitcoin Bitcoin are going to be doubly, triply important in the next few years. And if you have been delaying on realizing your sovereign ownership of Bitcoin, holding your own keys, stacking sats like a madman, and, you know, making sure that you know Bitcoiners in the community, that you build up your community and your friends and the people that you can trust. If you have avoided doing that, now is the time to do it. The stage is set and the games are about to freaking begin. Thank you so much for listening, guys. This is Bitcoin Audible. I'll catch you with another episode tomorrow. And yeah, that's it. Don't forget to subscribe. Check out my meme, by the way. I made another Bitcoin meme. Fun stuff. Check it out on The Guy Swan on Twitter. Until next time, take it easy, guys. You have been listening to Bitcoin Audible, a 111 production.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.